If we turn over to Ezekiel 9:4, this might give us a perspective as to where our hearts are. When we see the things that are happening around us that are going to get worse, when those things happened in Detroit in 1968, the race riots, frankly, that's one of the times it's easy to remember when Detroit's won a pennant or a World Series or something, because they've only done it, I think, twice. One was in 1968 and one was in 94, and that was the Tigers. And back in 68, I forgot that during the riots, I don't know how they got through those, because Tiger Stadium was near downtown anyway. So I'm not sure how they got around that, but we had curfew in our neighborhood. Our house was probably maybe 15 miles from where you enter the city of Detroit. And anyway, we didn't feel it like they did downtown. And so we always felt safe. We had to come in at a certain time. I don't know if it was 9 o'clock. I always had to be in when the lights came on anyway. The street lights came in, I had to be in. So, but we did have curfews. And now, of course, they have curfews today. But when you're not there, you know, I'm glad when I see it on TV, I'm thankful that I'm not there. For the most part, I guess there were some, a little bit of shenanigans in Asheville, heard there were some here as well. So, but not like some other people see. And when you get other countries too, where some of our ministers will drive through some of these really brutal regions, it gets scary out there. And we're just used to having pretty much safety and peace in many of our cities. So when you see this happening, though, when you see these things taking place and you know that they're probably going to get worse, I just cannot see a recovery from this. I don't see some person, some righteous person coming on the scene telling people to repent when even our Supreme Court is going in a negative direction and has been for so long. We're pretty much have a conservative type of court, and yet it seems our Supreme Court justice rules toward the liberal side. So therefore, you get a Roe versus Wade decision. You get men being able to marry men and women marrying women, and it's not going to get any better. So we watch that. Ezekiel chapter 9 points this out here, because things were going really bad, by the way. The history part of this, no, they didn't have cars at the time, but the attitudes were just as bad. When you get children that are being offered to Moloch by the fire, and yet now we just go ahead and suck them out or whatever. You know, they were killing their children then, and they were getting rooted for it, no doubt as well. And it just got so bad there that God spoke up about this. In Ezekiel 9, it says, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders. And it was bad. It was horrible. It was so bad that God said, you're not going to survive. But he would spare those that had the caring heart, those that cried out for the things. Is that where we're at? Or are we so busy in our lives with our cares that we just watch the TV, turn it off, and go, I don't want to hear any of that? Or do we really see our nation, it was a wonderful nation that we've grown up in, that I grew up in. A lot of bad things have happened during that time. My generation was spared the Vietnam War. I did not have to register for the draft. I feel so grateful and blessed that I was not sent over to Vietnam because of somebody's whim to go fight a war that we were never going to win. And now you can go to see the results of that by looking at all these names on the Vietnam Memorial. One of my favorite pictures I have is a professor that's got his briefcase down. He's just leaning against that wall and crying in despair, thinking of all that waste and all the waste of the men that we sent over there just to die for what cause? How many have died for a worthless cause? When I was going over to Australia and I watched a World War I documentary and I saw these kids in Britain who wanted to join the war, that felt the honor to do that, they lied about their age so they can go fight in the war against the Germans. And they would go in those trenches. And when the guy blew the whistle, you got up and you attacked those Germans who were in the trenches that just simply machine gun them down. And it doesn't stop. People kill each other. People are still killing each other. They're going to continue to kill each other. And Satan wants mankind to kill himself off. And so we are deceived. We find issues on why we are different from each other and therefore reasons that we can kill each other. And it can sometimes start even in God's church. We see differences. We are people of differences. But God wants us to come together and work out certain differences that sometimes we might have and realize we are all the people of God. How can I point the finger at somebody else when I can look at the mirror? And I'm sorry, I can't look at the mirror and kind of do the Fonz. Hey, you know, I'm perfect. Far from it. How can any of us do that? But we certainly can pray for each other. You know, when I started this sermon series, we talked about understanding who we are. That was the first point. On having this special zeal. So we just sang, if you want to turn in your hymn books, I'm going to turn in a hymn book here to page 160 because we sang this. And look what it says here. And I know you know this. This is what we sang. This is what we are. Page 160, we are God's people. Let's look through the verses here. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord, led by His Spirit, established by His Word. So true. Our cornerstone is Christ alone, and strong in Him we stand. Oh, let us live transparently and walk heart to heart and hand in hand. There's an expectation, isn't there? There always has been. When I left off with that last scripture, one of my favorite, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that you should show forth the virtues. With that calling, with that selection, there comes something that we have to do. It's not just who we are, it's what we do. And of course, we're not saved by any kind of works that we do, but there is a requirement. And this song brings that out. Verse 2, it says, we're God's loved ones, the bride of Christ, our Lord, for we've known it. The love of God outpoured. Now let us learn how to return the gift of love once given. How do we give back? You know, the world sometimes has some neat ideas. There's that movie, if you remember, called Pay It Forward, where somebody received a blessing and it was not, I owe you one. That's the way that a lot of this world works out. You owe me one. You find out a lot in our government. All that's going to stop one day. You know, it's so frustrating when you can't do anything about it. You can't change that. And who knows what the November elections will bring. What's going to be the outlook of our country at that time? What's going to happen, by the way? Anybody will know this if you do a family budget. And I finally got my $2,400 check. And I looked at that check, and my jaw dropped. And I said, how can you afford this? How can you afford this? Where do we get that money from? So, you know what we do? It's like Jay Leno said with the Doritos. Eat all you want, we'll make more. We'll give you more checks, we'll just print more. Run it off the press, just print more. What happens that to the value of your dollar? You don't really see it big time. I have actually seen it a little bit. Have you gone out and bought a hamburger or a steak yet and see the prices? They're going to go up. It has to. There's no way. I remember back in 1976, my dad bought the Chrysler Cordova. If you remember, that was advertised by the guy in Fantasy Island. You know, the Corinthian leather, Ricardo Montalban will say. Hey, we got the Corinthian leather, man. It was great. I look back at that car, and that was a prime car. It had a 400 lean burn engine. It could burn all the fuels were changing at that time. 400 lean burn engine. I remember we were finally given that car when I lived out in New Jersey, and my wife was pregnant. I believe it was, we had to be with our first child. And on the way home from services, a car came out, and we broadsided it. And I was all I remember is just a soft little thing like this, because that Chrysler just took that car and went, whoom! And it just threw it out of the way. And I just said, oh, no, I bet this car is just totally smashed up. and I looked at the front one. Remember when they had the big, heavy bumpers? And it had the rubber on the front as well. And I looked at it, just a little piece of rubber was out of that. That whole car was broadsided. Oh, do I remember some of those things. That car, brand new, was $7,000. 1976, brand new. You know what that would cost now? Upwards of probably $35,000. What happens with the prices? Back then? Only back then, 1976, $7,000. So you can see the value of money, what's happened, and it will get worse. So what's going to happen? Am I going to worry about it? No. I'm going to practice not worrying about it. Concern? Certainly. You know, what are we supposed to do if you do have some extra savings? What do you do? I keep hearing, buy gold. And in my mind, as soon as somebody says, buy gold, I'm going, don't buy gold. Because it's such a lying spirit that's out there. We've got to get wisdom and figure out, maybe it is the time. I'm not saying it's not, but what do you do? Do you stash it under your bed? Do you put it in the stock market? Well, that's gone up and gone down. Oh, look, it's going up right now. Hey, that's great. I'm kind of going, they're going to make it go up and then, bam, they'll hit you again. That's what I keep thinking in my mind. I'm not saying I'm right. I don't know. I just don't trust the way that this world goes. And so you got to end up putting your trust in God and asking Him for the wisdom. That's where we're geared to. So when we see these things right here, this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what we sing. The last verse, on verse 2, oh, let us share each joy and care and live with a zeal that pleases heaven. See, this stuff can knock the tar out of you, can it? All this stuff that happens, bummer, riots, this, stay at home, can't do that. What's going on? We can still cut through this as God's people and live with a zeal because we know what our outcome is. And God looks at it so differently. I'd like to look at it the way God does, because that way you won't have to worry about it. The only thing you have to worry about is are you with the program here? Is this where we're at? Do we sigh? Do we cry for the abominations? Or have we come so hardened to it? Have we gotten the spiritual wind knocked out of us? If you have, you can go to your eternal God and you can ask for that back. And He'll give it to you. The third one, we are the body of which the Lord is head, called to obey Him. You see, again, we are, and this is what we do. Now risen from the dead, He wills us be a family, diverse yet truly one. My family growing up, Michigan, we sat around a very small kitchen, by the way, just middle class neighborhood, but we always had everything that we needed. And we sat around that small kitchen table, all five of us. How do we do it? I think sometimes we even let the dog on the floor in there so I could feed him my vegetables that I didn't want to eat. I remember all that, but every night that I can remember, we sat around a table and we ate together as a family. That's calm. If people can still do that today, why do you think all these restaurants are still out there? More restaurants. Yeah, I know some have closed down, but before all this happened, those restaurants were packed and they're getting packed again because the woman no longer is the one that makes the meals at home. She's got a job to be able to afford all the other things that we get and have. The family structure is just totally different. And I could look at that and go, wow, what a bummer. You know, it's so interesting for the ages, for those of you that have had birthdays recently. I just had my 63rd last Monday. I'm kind of going, slow it down. I'm tired of this getting older. And I know some of you are going, you haven't seen nothing yet. I know, I realize that. And so I got a kind of a really neat gift from my family. They got me a Gordie Howe hockey jersey. For those of you that know, remember Gordie Howe back in the 60s. He was like the greatest hockey player. Later on came Wayne Gretzky and somebody else comes out. But Gordie Howe, they call him the GOAT. Greatest of all time. Greatest of all time. And I go, yeah. They go, well, you know, where is he? How is he doing? He's in the grave. He's gone. He's passed on. What happened? What happened to that? And that can kind of hit you right upside the head. And it can be negative. But it doesn't have to be negative, does it? Because we're looking forward. I can look back and laugh and smile. had a great time, skated with this guy. It was awesome. I put that within there too, that the referee once told me, it's been a while since I've skated now, but the last time I did, the referee told me that my skates ought to be in the Smithsonian. I bought them in 1973. So maybe rightly so. But you see that age as far as what in the world happened? What in the world happened there to the time element? And sometimes it can get depressing. And that's when we got to re-gear and focus in on what we're going for, what we're looking toward. It made me have a whole different perspective on how God looks at death and dying. Because God said that the death of a saint is wonderful to God. But I don't always look at it that way. Well, I need to look at it that way. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. He says precious. So I choose to believe one I know doesn't lie. I just maybe think, maybe I don't always see it that way because I'm focused too much on the earthly things. And so then when I do talk about the heavenly things, I think about those I'm going to see again. I think about those, even my own dad. And that will be after the end of 1,000 years, but you know what's going to happen with those 1,000 years? What happened to this Passover? I remember just baptizing a couple of guys, getting up for a Passover and looking forward to the days of unleavened bread, and then 50 days till Pentecost. It's gone. And I'm on to my 64th year. Slow down, would you? It just doesn't. Life just doesn't slow down. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to have the zeal and enjoy life and do the best that we can do. We are still learning. Let's look what verse 4 says. We're a temple, the Spirit's dwelling place, formed in great weakness, a cup to hold God's grace. We die alone, for on its own each ember loses fire, yet joined in one, the flame burns on to give warmth and light and to inspire. So that's what happens. When we get these losses, and even in our family, we can encourage and we can inspire each other to go, by the way, how fast has 50 years gone by for you? How fast has 30 years gone by for you? One day, we're going to be at the real thing. How's that going to feel? Most of us don't really know exactly how that's going to unfold. But I still look at this marriage supper. I'm kind of going, this has got to be good. This has got to be great. Number one, we get the best wine ever. I don't know if I mentioned that listening to a speaker one time. He talked about Christ's miracles. Well, isn't it interesting, the first miracle? He could have done resurrection, couldn't he? He resurrected. That would be a good first miracle. He walked on water. That would have been a great first miracle. But someone had said, they coined it this way, he chose to keep the party going. Let's get some more wine here, folks. Turning the water into wine. God is a God of enjoyment. Not drunkenness, but enjoyment. So that's what we have to look forward to. And I can't wait to talk to these guys, the Noahs. I'll tease them about the floodlights. They go, what are floodlights? You know, I mean, imagine the conversations that we can have with some of these guys that have never seen the technology before. And what will it be like at that time? We're going to be so happy and so thrilled and so rejoicing. And that time is going to come so quickly. So let's get to the second point here in establishing or reestablishing our zeal for God for life. And the second point is reestablishing our commitment. Reestablishing our commitment, which we've now already passed, and now here we are again. First of all, we got to get through the Feast of Tabernacles. And as you know, and I try to bring it up, I try to remind everyone so that we all realize how quick time passes by. Sometimes our lives, we just go and go and never stop to really think about it. It doesn't have to be negative, by the way. Just how fast it goes by. We can look back now and see these feasts that we went to. What just happened in New Zealand? That was just like, now that's gone and we're on the road to our next one. And by the time we get there, and I'll remind everyone again, just before we are able to go to the feast, by the way, remember that I'm saying this right now, but before you know it, you're going to all be back here. The feast is going to be over. Here we are again. And sure enough, I'll remind you again. By the way, didn't I not just tell you? I was just standing here telling you that this would be over. And it's a recognition, though, of how fast time goes. And that does not have to be negative at all. Now we just simply look at it. Mr. Meeker wrote a really good article, I believe it was in the In Accord, of making the most of our time. How do we make the most of our time? How do we enjoy life? We have to bear the work and, you know, all the things that we have to do. We're certainly, I don't know of anybody that doesn't have, does anybody not have anything to do here? If you don't, come on over. But I don't think that's, I think everybody is just overloaded, aren't we? We're all just so overloaded, so much to do. But in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, it speaks about these churches. Someone asked me recently, it's interesting when you get some of these questions, a couple good ones came out recently. They said, well, aren't all these churches the same? And I'll say, no, they're not. All the churches are not the same. Now, I believe that God's people are scattered throughout a lot of the churches. But we are visiting over in Arkansas, and someone mentioned that there's another group that they won't let their parents won't even talk to their kids. Because if you're not with that group, you can't associate with your family. And I find that so incredibly appalling and in violation of God's own laws of honoring your father and mother. And the family structure. You know, certainly we can disagree, but now you're anathema because you might attend this church. I'll warn people against that. If they don't have the eyes to see that, I'm going to warn them of that. There are some dangerous people out there. There are some dangerous groups that are out there. No, we are not all the same. And so there's a reflection on that understanding because people will say, well, will we ever get together? Well, eventually. I mean, before Christ returns, I can't see that happening. Well, why? Because there's have to be something called repentance. When you've seen or proved that someone else has sinned blatantly, that needs to be repented of. And then, by the way, without throwing that huge stroke out there, I got to go back and look at myself and go, I know I'm not perfect and I've got to overcome, but Do we repent of our sins? Have you repented of your sins? We reestablished our commitment just back at Passover. And all of us were supposed to come before God and say, I'm renewing my commitment. I'm sorry for my sins. And it's not just left at that Passover because it comes to the next time that you get on your knees. The point is do you get on your knees? Do you ask for forgiveness? Do you ask for the repentant attitude that we need to have, and all those elements that are in here, that we're to live by every word of God. Revelation chapter 2, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, and your labor, and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. I remember just going through that, and I still remember also the works, and thank you for those that have once again made this setup so nice for us to come today. Hand sanitizer, some wipes back there, information table, the hymn books. Somebody served. And and people have always constantly served in the church. I'll never forget that. The time that many of you participated in the youth programs and drove so many miles. God has not forgotten that either. And so we continue. But, you know, times change. And then you realize all of a sudden you're kind of going with the flow. This goes back to our big organization now. When we're all together there, 150,000 strong, and all of a sudden you notice something's not right. Something's not right here. And depending where you are and who your minister was, you had to face some challenges. You could use the old reasoning, oh, God, I remember this one. God will take care of it, and I agreed with that. But see, we left our big organization in 92. And not to say, well, we're so much better than anybody else. That's what we were confronted with by our minister who let everything come in. And once nature of God came in, I used to do that, folks. I used to do Trinity. And once I learned that, and now you're bringing that back in, I'm kind of going, I'm done. And, of course, the Sabbath day and the holy days followed, and all of you watched that. And all of you had to deal with that. So we get nice and cozy with our next organization. Boy, now this is great. Now we're in these smaller groups now, and things are okay. Here's the one group over there, and here's the other group over there. And can we get together? Well, eventually, one time maybe in church history, in 2001, two churches came together. And that was awesome. And now we're along. Hey, here it goes. Things are going great now. All right, we're back in our local congregations. Things are going pretty well. Things are happening a little bit here or there. But then, pow, it hits you again. And now you got another choice to make. And somebody said, well, if this happens again, I'm done. Nice job. You just resigned yourself to failure. If this happens again, I'll get back up again. And you will too. Because you never give up. That's the whole part of endurance. You never give up. You find out where God's Spirit is. You find out where the truth is being preached. And you assemble yourselves together on God's Sabbath. There's never a point in there where he says you're going to stop doing that. So you find a way to do that, to obey his commands. So yeah, this was a hard test, and we had to follow some government procedures, but still, some of you tried to meet together, some couldn't, understandable. And God knows that as well. But with all get out, with all possibility, we will be meeting together as much as we can. So he says, I know your patience. Those you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience. And have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. And I've witnessed this. I've got three churches that have all gotten pounded in one form or another. And they still come. And they still have pot blessing meals. And they still are excited about maybe going to Winter Family Weekend. Or excited about going to the Pentecost weekend that we weren't able to have this year. Or excited about going to the feast, or excited about coming to Sabbath services. I have not seen anybody come in here and go, oh man, here we go again. What's he got to say this week? You know, let's get this over with and go back home. I saw people last week when they were here that did not want the fellowship to stop. Services ended at 5. They were fellowshipping at 7:30 before someone said, anybody want to go out to eat? And continued the fellowship. And yet they've gotten pounded. And so have you, and so has London, and so have so many other churches. So this letter is basically talking about us in a sense as well. It's not to this church, because the messages in all these letters, and that's why it's important to understand, because a lot of the focus was in on errors, more it is on the message that applies to us today. You've not become weary. Not that you don't become tired. Yes, we all become tired. We all become downtrodden, and that's where the prayers come in. Because by the power of God's Spirit, he gives you the ability to get back up again. And I hope that all of you have experienced this. I'm sure you have, if you've been in the church for this many years. You've gotten on your downside. What in the world? Why am I so down? You can't even understand. And you appeal before God, and others will pray for you, and all of a sudden, you're back up again. And even though the situation might not even be gone, you just feel differently about it. I've seen those miracles before as well. Verse 4, though, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, when you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So you'd have to go back and go, what were my first works? My first works. You know, one issue that always seems to come up is Sabbath, isn't it? Well, you know, I'm a little bit tired today. So I think I'll pass it and catch a webcast. I don't see anything in here that says the Sabbath day is never an assembly. Now, there are reasons. Someone's sick, the way is too far, oxes in the ditch. That takes place sometimes, yes. But to kind of go, well, you know, this person really bugs me, so I don't think I'm going to come this week. You know, is that the way that God looks at that? And that could be a first love, because I remember mine, maybe you do yours. You know, I had left the church for a little bit as a teen and came back, and I loved my Detroit congregation. I loved those people. I couldn't wait to get to services. And I didn't, it was like after that with the young adults, the singles, when I came back, I was probably 20, 21. And every Saturday night, what are we doing? What are we going to do? Where are we going? We would get together at somebody's house. We would ice fish at 2 a.m. We would have such a great time together, but it was like, what are we going to do together? We are God's people. And the zeal to, what are we doing? The one weekend, I was accepted to Ambassador College, and I was asking everybody, what are we doing tonight? And I didn't get any response. So some people ask us over for dinner. A young family asked us over for dinner. And my friend that was also going to Pasadena, I was going to Big Sandy. And they had us over for a real nice meal. And I called my mom and dad and said, is anybody called? You know, because, okay, I'm going to finish this meal, but then what are we doing? You know, we're going to continue the fellowship. Even after that, couldn't find them. They said, do you want to go down to the pool? Well, sure. So we go down to the pool and take my shoes off, and we put our feet in the water and talk a little bit more. And right next to that pool, there was a building, and the roof came almost down to the ground. I go, that's an interesting building. Do you want to see inside? Well, sure. So I carry my shoes like this. I open the door, and my jaw drops to my feet. Everybody was there. It was a going away party for us. That's where everybody was. Now I got it. That was my church family. That was my first love. And even all the negative things that happened after that, most of that family is gone. Most of them left. Most of them bought the lies. I still remember that family because I'm going to see them again. And they're going to change. And they're going to realize that they bought the lie. And they're kind of going, and you hung in there. I did. And now I'm here to serve you. You're back to having family again. Isn't that awesome to think about that? Those people that maybe you had friendships with, you'll reconnect with the friendships. You'll be the teacher. They'll see. It says a lot of those people will come and worship at your feet. Isn't that interesting too? We go, no, you're going to be God. We are God's people now. This is what this message is saying. Do you remember this? So yes, we have repenting to do. We have to reestablish our commitment with God. To remember, how about God's calling? Can you share with others here God's calling in your life? What happened? Because you know, when you share that, it reignites that zeal. I remember when God, I just remember one day I just had enough. My grandma would say, I've told you this before. My grandma would say, he's trying to find himself. She was right. I was trying to find myself. Many, many young people today try to find themselves, and that's okay. I mean, this country is open to do whatever you want. You want to be a policeman, you want to be a fire person, you want to drive a cement truck, you want to be an engineer, you want to be an astronaut. What do you want to do? I don't know. There are too many choices. They don't even know how to narrow it down sometimes because we're blessed so much. So I'd gone through a gamut of doing different things. You would find out this is so unusual. How could you do so many different things? I made army tanks. You got a pastor who made army tanks. 55 tons of steel. I knew I couldn't do that anymore. But I told all the guys that worked for the auto places over in Detroit, I go, guess what? Mine will blow anything off the road. That was my tank. And so now I look at it in the future and go, I'm going to be rebuilding all these, the plowshares and the pruning hooks. And my division will be called Tanks for the Memories. You know, all the steel, what's going to happen to it when you think about that? But I did that. I tried to go for a professional hockey career. I tried, and finally, it just like, I'm done. And I made it to the last cut, and I got cut politically. And I wrote an article for the newspaper. And a guy responded to my article. He goes, this guy sounds like he's got a chip on his shoulder. And I did. And I did. I was mad. I was angry, and I was done. I'm going, it's over. Mom, I think I'm going to come back to church. And I never want to forget that. I'm wondering, how are they going to look at me when I come in? Are they going to go, what's he doing there? That might have destroyed me. I came in there, and people just swallowed me up. And that became my family. And I never look back to that day, and I don't want to ever forget it. You've got your story to share too. What was it like when you first came in, when God called you? How did he get the wheels turning? Somebody have the story of the radio program listening to that. I did that too, to listen to the radio program. You know, the difference it was making by maybe answered prayers and an excitement that you now have. You know, the excitement, looking for a car. Try looking for a car, especially in 1980, looking for a 1973 Dodge Charger. That's the car that I wanted. Dodge Charger, because 1973 was just before they went to more emissions in 1974. So much more with the carburation. I go, I don't want to go that way. I want the 1973 Dodge Charger. That's the car that I wanted. And there would be a Charger for sale, a 73. And I said, what color is it? They would say primer red. Okay, I know what kind of car that is when it's primer red. Okay, this one's got a little bit of surface rust on it. So I would go kind of poke at the surface rust and my finger would go through the metal. Okay, well, I can't do that. So I'm asking God for a good car because now I'm going to be taking this car and going to college with it as well. And there was one car that was there that I found, and this one in this, at this, remember, 1979, 1980, the value of your cars was a lot, you know, the prices were a lot less. But this one was $2,700. I'll never forget the price. Because most of them were $600, $800 for the cars. This one, $2,700. I go, well, why are you charging so much? He goes, it's been in the garage, driven by my mom to the local store and back. It had like 14,000 miles on it. And when I went in to look at it, the carpet was like brand new. She had put mats on it. It was just spick and span. I looked in the trunk, you know how they used to have the white walls and they used to have like a blue coating? The blue coating was still on there. It was brand new. So I got that car and I used it even after we were married. And just used it and used it and used it. Never had a car payment. And took people all over the place. I went to Tijuana, Mexico, Toronto, Canada with it. That's how God blessed me. I never wanted to forget that. Because that car was used to serve. Took so many people in at one time. The guy says, you know, they used to have leaf springs. He said, do you realize that your leaf springs are inverted? Because I had so much luggage and so many people in the car, so I had to get air shocks for it. And took it more miles. And it was a safe car. And I never want to forget that. That was God's blessing. All the things that he leads us to and he intervenes and gives us that encouragement as we come along the way. Have we forgotten that? How about the desire and excitement for truth instead of the unanswered questions and confusion of life? You couldn't wait to get your next magazine. You couldn't wait to get your next correspondence course. But yet now, we've got so much material coming at us, you don't know which one to pick. What do we do? The Wednesday Bible study? The Friday Night Live? Do we go after that article? Do we go after this class? Which one? It's just thrown at you so much, you kind of feel overwhelmed sometimes. You know, the suggestion has been pick one and go for that one. You know, what interests you? But there's so much out there. But is that desire? Is the thirst still there? How about the desire to share the calling with others? Do you avoid the opportunities when somebody comes up from you? I love sharing them now. I might not always do it in the right way, but I try. I try to share it now. You know, that's why I came in. I came into my chiropractor this week wearing the Red Wing jersey. And so, because he's a big wrestler and all that, so he was kind of impressed and showed my relationship with Gordie Howe and all that kind of stuff. And then it was kind of an intro to talk about a little bit what was going on and talk about what the Bible says. And all of a sudden, we got a little conversation going there and talked to his wife, who's the secretary, and say, yeah, God says all these things are gonna come on and you can see them, and they could see things happening. I go, that's what God said would take place. So I tend to want to. And of course, we got, you know, not just, you don't want to be a blinding light, you know, but we do want to shine our lights to other people as we have opportunities. Is that what, do we have that desire to do that, to share that, to be able to give an answer if somebody asks us? How about the desire to fellowship with brethren, no matter the different personalities? You are drawn to people because of the calling you had in common with them, not because they had the same taste that you had. In fact, many would not even seek each other out in the world because you came from different backgrounds, whether it had to do with education, race, personality, etc. But God brings people together, and no one feels like they're better than someone else. And we start with the kids. Just doesn't matter. We just look forward to getting. Everybody has got something to offer. Everybody has had a history. Everybody has had a background. And when you get that perspective, it makes you go, I've got to reestablish my commitment with God. God cuts through the prejudices. His way yields peaceable fruits. You know, and there was also a desire to learn how to do things better and have a higher standard in life. So we had things like raising the bar. Should that ever stop? Should we ever raise the bar? You know, this society, we've talked about that before. You can see, after things took place in the church, you could see the dressing down. Maybe some people wearing jeans. It happened in society. You'll notice that at funerals, people just come in jeans and a t-shirt to a funeral. Why do we come dressed up? Out of respect for the people. And out of respect as representatives of God Almighty, don't we? Out of respect for that. I told people that dress down, I don't dress for you. I dress out of respect because I'm coming before God to worship Him. And we can't forget that. We don't dress because we feel so much better than somebody else. That's not the point whatsoever. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses. Whoa, there we go. In the cloud and in the sea, ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness, and they became our examples to the intent that ye should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted. Now let's ask this. Did this happen in modern day times? Absolutely did. I went back to a congregation that I loved, and once the minister there brought all these so-called new truths in, were nothing but a bunch of lies. Then I heard comments that the people couldn't wait to eat the next unclean thing that they saw or eat leavening during the days of unleavened bread. And I was shocked. And most of them, out of a congregation of over 300 people, most of them, my family back in Detroit, most of them bought it and went back and go, what were we missing? A good friend I had gone to college with. I'll never teach my kid that he can't play basketball on Friday night and leave him. I couldn't do that. I missed out. My son is not going to miss out from that, he would say. And I'm thinking, oh my, you have no idea what you're going to miss out on. And here they were given that little tidbit of information along the way. They had the Feast of Tabernacles. They had the messages of us going to the feast and what that represented, and us being first fruits. See, remembering who we are, once again, we're first fruits, the people of God, remembering who we are, called for a greater purpose to what? To be able to serve and help God in the future. Not just sit back and go, reap my reward now. Now God's going to go, here's what you got to do, here's what you got to do. How is He going to do that? What are you going to do? There's going to be a lot to do. I know that. The Bible talks about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you think that those people that got a taste of that aren't going to go, I totally missed out? Yeah, you did. You bought the lie. For whatever reason, they got away from God. Something got into them. They let somebody take their crown. Let no one take your crown, the Bible says. Something happened. Same thing. That's why it's there. Same thing happened in our day and age. Let's look at verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So whoever thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Don't ever get in a comfortable situation where you think you've got it made. Well, I'm pretty good. I'm all right. I've done pretty good lately. You better look a lot closer. A lot closer. In fact, you know, they've got those mirrors. We've got one of those. I don't like the close one. I'm kind of going, I don't like those. Let's turn that over to the other one. You know, that's just physical. When you really take a look spiritually, folks, let's be honest. With ourselves, at least. You know, none of us here can come today and go, look at that person. Well, look at that. You know, at least I don't do that. At least I'm better than them. Very dangerous to be in. Instead of judging, as Paul talked about, we need to be praying for each other. If you spot a flaw you think is so bad in a person, you better be praying for that. Instead of judging that person, praying for them. That's our duty. That's to what we were called. Because who are we? Nothing. We were nothing. God called us, blessed us. Let's go over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Just before Hebrews here, Titus chapter 2. There's so much to do, and we can do it in harmony. We can do it in peace. It's a unique situation to, at least for a pastor, to go to so many different congregations. They're just all so different. Each of the three that I serve is just different. I could kind of anticipate a little bit on the opening of services, what it might be like. All are just so different. It was the same way when I was an associate in Baton Rouge. You would go to Baton Rouge, it was so different from Lafayette. Lafayette was just a little bit more laid back. There were more Cajuns that were there. They loved to go out on Saturday night and just two-step. Just two-step. I'm kind of thinking, well, every Saturday night you go out and just two-step? Just two-step. You know, nothing different, just two-step. That was their enjoyment. That's what they like to do. And sometimes it'd be nice just to go out with them. And if I come over and visit them, I'd be awake the rest of the night because that coffee was so strong. They made the chicory. And so Lafayette, morning service. It's just like, would you like some coffee? Okay. And it's just like, I'm like they're wanting to dance up there. Because that's what they did. And you learn to enjoy what they enjoyed. You know, to eat what they ate. Of course, everything there was clean that the brethren made. Everything else down there, no matter if something was walking, they'd kill it and put sauce on it and put it in a boiler. So, but they would make awesome gumbo. The meals that they had there, you know, up north, you take chicken soup and you take little pieces. They cut little pieces of chicken there. You have to microscope them and they throw them in there. And then little tiny pieces of carrots. And you're looking through the soup bone, chicken soup. What? Down there, they take huge pieces of chicken. They throw that in. And all other kinds of things. And it's soup. It's chunky soup. Am I ridiculing the people up there? No, I'm not. It's just that's the kind of, maybe if I'm up in Michigan, I'm not eating that kind of soup. I'm making my own. So it's going to spread around a little bit. So now you got some Cajun up there. That's why now they've got a Northerner coming down. And that was a big change. We're different. North is different. You know that. North is different. Are they any worse or are they any better? No, it's just different. They're harsher. Yeah, they're going to bring it right to the point. That's why I had to get dunked. God said, I need to soften you up a little bit. So I'm going to dunk you down all the way to Baton Rouge. And you're going to make your way slowly back. So the next 9 years, we're in Alabama. Then we're over in Georgia. Now Tennessee. I've not been able to get out of SEC country, but I love it here. I love the South. I love that you're a little bit more just easy going here. You know, you're y'all come back now type of people and, you know, just that kind of thing. And what I learned is when they say y'all come back, they don't always mean that. So you had to find that about the South. But nobody's better than anybody. The West is not better than the East. And then that becomes state versus state. I grew up with that. Elementary school versus elementary school. I remember in seventh grade, you're coming together with all the other elementary schools. And there was some stuff going on. You know, I'm from this school. And all of a sudden, hey, we're all Southlake now. We're all one high school now. Now you're bickering with all the other high schools. And so now you're wanting to pick fights with Lakeview and pick fights with Lakeshore. Now you're against each other. And then you find out there's more divisions. You know, it's city versus city. It's state versus state. It's country versus country. And Satan wants to find anything in the world that he can use to divide us and eventually to hate each other. And brethren, that's happened in the church. That's happened in the church. I cannot believe that I witnessed hatred in the church of God. I cannot believe that I've seen people treat each other with such disrespect and with such sin involved. What in the world happened to that? I thank God that it was easy to spot. For me, everybody I know, everyone out here had to go through their different spots. 3 times now, I've had to witness sin in a church that caused me to leave that corporate group. And along with it was anger. Because I spotted it, there was anger. And it was horrible to watch that. So out in the world, I've seen it. I've seen it in the world as well. It's just very sad to see something like that. But we've all witnessed it. And God says, don't let that happen to you. Don't ever let that happen to you. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself for his own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous. Not just good works, but zealous. Can't wait to get back into that. You know, when you look at it, I look at it this way. Pow, you get hammered. You get back up again. I'm going for it. Pow, you get hammered. I'm getting back up. I'm going for it. Pow, you get hammered. I'm getting back up for it. You want to hit me again? Go for it. Hit me again, because I'm going to get back up again. And I'm going to get back up again. And I'm going to get back up again. As long as God gives me that strength through the power of his Holy Spirit, I'm not going to get down. Because that's the worst thing you can allow to happen in your life. Then you can't have any works, because you don't feel like doing anything. And life just doesn't matter anymore. And a lot of people just end up taking their own lives because they don't care. And Satan has just won a big round when he does that one. So we watch what's going on, and we need God's kingdom to come. We're looking for that blessed hope. That's what we pray for, and that's what we work toward. Zealous for good works. He said, speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. We just went through that, didn't we? Our church officials were looking to the best of their ability to follow certain guidelines. And maybe people are saying, no, they say that over here. And they say, I know that. I know WHO was saying one thing and CDC was saying one thing. So somebody had to make the call on that. I don't want to cancel camps. But we have to look for wisdom here. What do I do? Oh, it's a bunch of phony stuff. No, it's not. It is real. Some of our people have gotten this virus. Well, I know all the arguments. I don't want to argue about it. We came together and a judgment in the church was made. To do the best that we can do and to try to follow our government authorities to the best of our ability. He says in verse 2, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, to be gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating each other. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appear, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Once again, it's not just by things that we've done. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of generation and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to all, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they're unprofitable and useless. Nothing wrong, by the way. I've speculated with some people, even here, and I enjoy it. But we're not going to get into being contentious. You know, once you feel a little bit of that heat going on, okay, we all agree, and I think this is where we've come. We can get to the point, well, what about this? As I say, what's that marriage supper going to be like? I don't totally know. I like to think about ideas, but I'm not going to make them contentious, because when it happens, I want to be there. If you're not there, what difference does it make, right? I just want to be there. So I've got to do all the other stuff that it says here. It's fun, again, talking. I love talking about the Bible. I love getting questions. Got a great question recently. What about Jehovah? I got a question about Jehovah. It was a great question. He said, you asked, so I'm going to give you a question. So he looked at Jehovah. He took the word Jehovah toward the end. If you look up the root word, that definition, it means divisive. And something even more than that. I go, whoa, how? The God of divisiveness? The God of destruction? I go, whoa, if that's true, I don't think I can use that name. I'm going, I'm okay. I don't use that name anyway. And I'm thinking, where do I get that name? Mr. Frenchak introduced me to a song a couple years ago. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. I'm going, oh, not that song. No. Can we change the name? Is there something that we can do? So I wrote to Dr. Levy, and Dr. Levy goes, I don't think so. And so he kind of went through that name and go, I don't think so. And so I went on the Google and saw a guy that knows his Hebrew. He goes, anybody who says that, they don't know their Hebrew. That's not what it means at all. And he took an example. He took assume. You know what people say about assume? When they break that word down, okay? When you break that word down, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. Well, I'm assuming that we're having services today. Well, you know what that means. No, that's not what that means. But that's what they say. And it's the same way there. Just because that's what you think that's tacked on there, that doesn't change. That's not what that word means. I said, yes, I get to sing that song and I have to change the words. So you just look. But again, answering a question. Keep the questions coming. I just love it. Now I can answer the question about Jehovah. That's awesome. We're learning and we're growing together, aren't we? And to me, that's exciting. That's the way it can be. But see, if all of us take a look at ourselves and you remember who you are, and we recognize our own faults, we'll be less likely to judge anybody else. We'll be praying for each other. And that's going to bring a lot more happiness to us personally, to the congregation. That's going to bring more zeal to your life because you're going to go, I can't wait. I can't wait to come. I can't wait to get there. Not, I don't know if I want to come there. These people are a bunch of problems. No, we're God's people. We're God's family. So let's recognize that. Let's take a look at this second point and see what's happening in our life when it comes to reestablishing our commitment before Him. We did that at Passover, but we should be doing that on a daily basis. Let's see if that doesn't bring us some more zeal and passion for our life.